My name is Piyasha Ghosh, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Florida in the Soil and Water Sciences Department. My research focuses on studying the impact of arsenic-resistant soil rhizobacteria on the solubilization of insoluble arsenic minerals in the rhizosphere of an arsenic hyperaccumulating fern, Pteris vittata, as well as studying the impact on growth enhancement of the plant. We are well aware of the toxic effect of arsenic. The arsenic poisoning of groundwater in Bangladesh was declared as the world's worst case of mass poisoning by World Health Organization in the year 2001. But in recent times, we are facing another challenge, that is the accumulation of arsenic in rice, which is resulting in high amount of arsenic in baby food, which is about to affect the normal growth and development of small babies in their early stages of life. So this toxic ubiquitous element, which is present naturally in soil, needs to be remediated. And the usual techniques which are used currently are soil excavation and then filling up the site, contaminated site, with a cap of clean soil. So what we are proposing is to use an arsenic hyperaccumulating fern called Pteris vittata to remediate arsenic-contaminated soil and water. This fern can accumulate arsenic 10 times higher than what is the concentration in the soil. So this fern works or uptakes arsenic only from the rhizosphere. So this rhizosphere of the plant needs to be studied, especially the microbes, to enhance the uptake of arsenic. So for this study, what we did was we went out to several sites where the fern was growing naturally. These sites mainly included places which were closest to wooden structures. And the one which you see here, this one is growing under a wooden structure. It was under a deck. And this wood may have contained CCA, which is a significant source of man-made arsenic use in the United States. The other site, which is this one, the Crystal Quarry, the ferns were growing on the mine tailings of a dolomite mining site. And we had two more sites which we identified maybe the contamination was from CCA again. So we had like several different sites from where we collected the soil samples and isolated a bunch of bacteria, which we are calling the consortium. It had 7 bacteria. So the point that I want to make here is, even if the concentration of arsenic is very high in the soil, but the bioavailable arsenic is always small. It's a very small proportion of what is present in the soil. And one more point, we used a high pH, that is 7 to 8, to isolate the bacteria because the fern prefers to grow in high pH calcareous soils. Okay, so this was a study which was reported in 2001 where we are showing the capability of the fern to extract arsenic from different insoluble sources. As you see, as the red arrows are pointing, the iron arsenate and the aluminum arsenate minerals had the least solubility, or the fern can extract arsenic in the smallest proportion from these two insoluble salts. So based on our hypothesis, what we are saying is the fluorescent bacteria produce a natural iron chelating compound, which is called siderophore, and we know it's very commonly found in most rhizosphere bacteria. The structure is shown here. When it's not chelating with iron, it's a straight compound, but when it chelates with iron, it curls down and just keeps the iron in the center and forms this structure. This is a picture of ferroxamine siderophore, commonly produced by most fluorescing bacteria. Okay, so the main objectives of this study was to study the role of arsenic-resistant bacteria in solubilization of iron and arsenic, and as well as trying to study the influence of these PGPR, because they are plant growth promoting rhizobacteria, on growth enhancement of Pteris vittata. So for this, we isolated the bacteria and identified them using 16S ribosomal RNA sequencing. Well, what you see here is the nearest phylogenetic neighbors. We actually got the whole sequence, compared it to the database, and they gave about 95% homology to these organisms, which you see here. The fluorescence, as we scored here, is high and low. It's just crude, as we scored it on a UV bench. So the experimental design was very simple, that we synthesized the commonly found insoluble arsenic minerals present in soil. It was a lab synthesis, and then we acclimatized the fern plants in 0.2 strength Hoagland solution, and we exposed them to these minerals. So there were three treatments. That is, in one, we just had the bacterial consortium. In one, we just had the plant, which also had the small amount of microorganisms present on the roots. And the third treatment was where we add both the consortium and the plant. So here we see that with ARB, the label which is, it is the treatment where we add both the consortium and the plant. So as you can see that the ARB were increased the arsenic uptake significantly in the plant. It was around 14 times higher in the roots, and it was approximately double in the fronds. So what we tried to see that if at high pH, the iron was precipitating on the roots of the fern. So we did wash the roots in nitric acid and tried to see the root external concentration, which was only 10 to 15% of the total arsenic present in the roots. For the aluminum arsenate treatment, the arsenic translocated much better compared to the iron arsenate treatment. And in the next slide, I will discuss that why this happened. Okay, so here are the iron and aluminum concentration in the plant biomass. So with the ARB, we see that it's significantly higher amount of iron in the roots and slightly higher in the fronds, but with aluminum, we see that it was much less, that the plant was not happy taking up aluminum. So this may be one of the primary reasons why we see that arsenic translocated much better in aluminum arsenate treatment. What we're thinking is that high amount of iron uptake into the plant resulted in the co-precipitation of iron and arsenic inside the roots, which hampered the translocation. So the next slide is about the increase in plant biomass, that what these bacteria are going to do to the plant, whether they are toxic or they are pathogenic or no. But we didn't find any adverse effect of these bacteria. And the consortium increased approximately 50% of the root biomass, and in the front it was 4 to 20%. The front biomass increased much better in the case of aluminum arsenate, but slightly less in case of the iron arsenate treatment. For a control, we used a bacteria called Bacillus, which is a commonly found soil bacteria, and it is fluorescent. But this was isolated from a non-arsenic contaminated source and not from the rhizosphere of Pteris vittata. So we see that the Bacillus was able to increase the root biomass slightly in the case of iron arsenate treatment, but in all the other treatments, we find that it was not different from the control. So since we are hypothesizing that siderophores led to the solubilization of minerals, we tried to isolate the compound, and we did a TLC, a thin layer study, where we stained the spots with ferric chloride that showed that it's pyrrolidine type of siderophores produced by the pseudomonads, because most of my bacteria were pseudomonads. And we tried to quantify the relative production of the bacteria by a chrome azural S assay, where we used the deferoxamine methylate as a standard salt, and we found that PT12, which was a pseudomonas, produced the highest amount of siderophores, followed by PT5, which may have led to the significant amount of solubilization of iron, as well as arsenic. So to summarize, I made a flowchart. The first, where you see the plates, that is the difference when we say that fluorescing and high fluorescing. So this fluorescein compound is water soluble. We tried various different organic solvents like ethyl acetate, chloroform, and everything possible, but this compound is just water soluble. So we extracted the compound and used the mineral, which is it's not showing up. It's an iron arsenic mineral, where these chelators bind to the iron, forms a big complex, and the arsenic is released indirectly, since the iron is no longer binding to it. And the siderophore is carried to the bacterial cells. The iron is extracted out of it, and the siderophores go back into the soil medium, which is in a recycling way, like it's very sustainable. So what I'm looking forward to is, if we have an iron phosphate mineral, that whether these bacteria can release phosphate just like the way it did with arsenic. So the main conclusions that we make are, the arsenic-resistant bacteria were effective in solubilizing iron and arsenic from the two insoluble iron and aluminum arsenic minerals, which we synthesized in the lab. The ARB were also able to increase iron uptake by the plant. This iron uptake, iron is a micronutrient, so we look forward to using this technique also if we can improve iron nutrition in agricultural crops. And the further research, where we want to go with it, is use these bacteria as a biofertilizer for improving both iron and phosphorus nutrition in plants in agriculture industry. So that's it. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much.